Oh, yes. Hello, hello. Happy May Days to all of you, because we are still in it. We're still deep in it. Yeah, that's what she said. And we got a little bit of wrestling to talk about at the same time, man. Money in the Bank shaping up. Post-WrestleMania backlash. Stories are developing. How do you feel about it? Do you want to hear what we have to say? I'm sure you do, because you just tuned in to the first Black Champ podcast, because we talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world. And in case this is your first time listening, I want to let you know that I am your podcast intercontinental champion, Kim from the Port.
Nay, I'm JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download to the Barbershop Network, home of First Black Champ. Make sure you follow us on everything, the FBC POD. Make sure you go ahead and get that merch. It's Sunday. It's sunshine and rainbows. And you go ahead and get that shirt that you see Camp got on right there. Yeah. And I would be a dumbass if I didn't say happy belated birthday to Camp for the Port.
Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And hey, and you're up next. The runway is here and it's clear.
Goddamn, Wednesday, 43. Does anybody got a jersey with 43? Like, you know how folks put jerseys up for their birthday? Like, did you put up a jersey for 43? Excuse me, who was it? Like,
You know what? I forget. It was like, man, it was somebody weird, like David Wingate or somebody, like Michael Cage. Maybe middle linebacker from like, I don't know, like the Baltimore Colts. Somebody had 43.
Okay.
But it didn't sound fly.
Yeah, like 44. Like, it's a number of people with 44. 43, look, Jack Sigma, you know what I'm saying? A Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Jack Sigma, Kendrick Perkins.
Okay.
Michael Thompson, Brad Doherty, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, hey.
I forgot.
Hey, okay. I must have Googled enough. Because Brad Doherty, I would have rolled with that.
I might have to roll with the Brad Doherty jersey. Cleveland, this is for you. I remember Jeff Rutland, you know what I'm saying? NFL, Darren Sproles is the best player with number 43. Chris Humphreys also wore 43 as well. Pascal Siakam. I believe, yeah. Let me see. I think it's somebody.
Hey, Chris Hoppy, there's splatter on, what you call it?
Yeah. Oh, man. Troy Polamalu.
Oh, shoot.
Actually is the best football player to wear 43.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. No, 43 is officially lit.
I have to look. That's like Dennis Eckersley. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I'm lost on that one. That was one of my
Okay, Dennis Eckersley is one of the greatest closers of all time.
Okay.
Man, he's one of the greatest closers of all time. He do the little unders. He had the little mustache and shit. Played for the Oakland A's.
Okay.
Kurt Schilling. I won't put Kurt Schilling up for 43. He's a piece of shit.
Hey, but yeah. Well, yeah, see.
He was a piece of shit.
But yeah, no, man. Hey, man, I officially, man. I mean, it's over now for me. But, I would have definitely put Detroit. Detroit to Brad Doherty. That would have been, that would have been lit.
Rick Sutcliffe. Okay. No, I'm not a Cubs fan.
Yeah.
But because of the Chicago connection, might have to put up the Rick Sutcliffe jersey for 43. We'll figure it out. But man, look, man, it's May Days. We're still celebrating. We still got a lot of celebrating to do. Everybody who's celebrating a birthday in May, y'all already know what it is. May Days is here in full effect. Let's just go ahead and get this show started. I don't know if this is going to be an all-time bang episode. I don't. Brando seems to think that it might be an all-time bang episode. Last week, if y'all listened or watched the show, I talked about what would happen if John Cena and R-Truth were to wrestle for the title?
Yeah, so for sure.
They're going to wrestle this Saturday at Saturday Night's Main Event, May 24th. I think it's in Tampa Bay. It's not for the title. But they're going to wrestle. And R-Truth says that he's going to bring back the old John Cena, some shit like that. But they're going to wrestle.
Okay.
I'm gonna let you go first, Kemp, about how you feel about this non-title affair on Saturday Night's Main Event.
Well, I did see this happening. I don't want to say I seen it for Saturday Night's Main Event and so soon. Honestly, I kind of felt like it was going to be after Money in the Bank because I was expecting more interaction from those two. But when you put somebody through a table after a press conference, they ain't much to talk about, right? So it do make sense of this happening. So far, the way I look at it, I originally said last week that I do think that R-Truth just becomes another element of the John Cena story in the run. And I'm going to stand on that. I think even with the segment with R-Truth and Wade Barrett, he's not building like the little Jimmy animosity, I want to be the champ. Like, R-Truth is clearly like, I don't even want to be the champ. I just wanted to face John Cena because that's not John Cena.
Right.
So, we know John Cena gets through May as the champ, right? And I'm actually more concerned about who's going to win this Money in the Bank and how R-Truth interferes with that. And that might be giving too much of what my potential guarantee is this week. But I think this is just another great appearance for John Cena. I think this is just him and R-Truth to work together one more time. And I think nothing more than that, because that's literally what they gave us. Oh, we're going to give the world champ an exhibition match on this.
Bullshit, Kent. That's not. Bullshit. All right, we go. Bullshit. This bullshit. If we gonna do this shit, let's do this shit right. This is bullshit. This is bullshit, fam. Because I see the fix. Yeah, I see the fix. And I hope I'm wrong, man. I hope I'm wrong about this. Unless you about to tell me John Cena is about to take a break for Money in the Bank and he's not going to make an appearance. Since he said he only got a certain amount of appearances left.
It's true.
If you go tell me that, that's one thing. But I don't see that happening. Fam, yeah. Wait, here's my guarantee. We're starting the show off earliest guarantee of all fucking time in the 7+ years we've been doing this show.
Yeah.
John Cena's going to lose this non-title match because Cody Rhodes is going to cost him the match, which is going to lead to R-Truth winning this match. And then for Money in the Bank, we're going to get R-Truth versus John Cena for the title because R-Truth can say that, hey, I got to win over my childhood hero, John Cena. This is a waste of fucking time. I hope I'm wrong on this.
So you think he's going to actually get like a pinfall win and not maybe like a disqualification?
No, he's going to get a disqualification win. Like, okay. Cody Rhodes is going to cost him the match. He's going to win by DQ. And everybody's going to look around and shout. John Cena's going to be on the ground like, what? And then whoever's the announcer is going to say, and your winner, R-Truth. And Michael Cole and Wade Barrett is going to be like, oh, my God. What an upset, even though it's by DQ, what an upset. John Cena just lost to R-Truth. What did this mean for the WWE Undisputed title? And then next week, they're going to announce that R-Truth and John Cena will wrestle for the title at Money in the Bank. Why? I hope I'm wrong on this guarantee, T-Camp. I hope I'm wrong. This is bullshit. This is a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, I do think you're wrong. I could see it. Don't get me wrong. I can see exactly what you're saying. But I wouldn't waste John Cena's spring with that.
They wasting a match on Saturday Night's Main Event with this shit.
That's true. I mean,
no, Donnie, no, it will not be a triple threat with Cody. We will not. Cody wouldn't even entertain a triple threat involving R-Truth. I don't give a damn how y'all call him Cody Devontae Rhodes. Hell no.
I'll tell you why.
Worse.
Look, Donnie, they won't do that triple threat because Cody would have to take the pin to R-Truth, too. Hey, I don't care. I don't care what happened last year and to start this year. If you put John Cena, R-Truth, and Cody Rhodes in a triple threat match for the world title, Cody's getting booed, and Cody will be expected to take that pin from either one of them. And the bigger moment, literally the bigger moment, is how R-Truth pinned Cody with what he learned from his childhood hero, John Cena. You don't want that to happen at all. Cody's out of here if they do that. Hey, we'll have the fourth black champ.
I was so disappointed in Triple H and them for booking this. Now, the card on Saturday night's main event, we're going to talk about it, but the card on Saturday night's main event is a hella decent card.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it also sets up for what I just said to happen because it's so much of a decent card.
Yeah. Hey, help me out here, though, because we watched Jey Uso probably have the greatest sequence that we'll probably see in this era of Saturday Night's Main Event, and he lost. So do you think potentially what we will see this Saturday will supersede that?
Yeah, because it's going to be so much of a shock when Alicia Taylor says, mm-hmm. and your winner, R-Truth. And the crowd's going to pop. The crowd's mm-hmm. going to pop for this.
For sure.
The crowd is not going to be what the fuck. The crowd, when they see R-Truth win, no matter how the win takes place, they're going to be like, I can't believe it. But the consequence is going to be at Money in the Bank on June 7th.
Hmm.
It's going to be R-Truth and John Cena for the Undisputed World Championship. And I don't want that for nobody. Including R-Truth.
Mm-hmm.
You're not about to DEI a match, all right? And not a win, just a match. It feels like they're DEI in a match at this point. Because, Kent, what is the biggest complaint that a lot of the black internet wrestling community has been saying about black talent in PLEs?
Yeah. Oh, there's not enough of us. We're not getting the real opportunities. We're not put in a position to actually win titles and get the ball so we can show how great we are.
Here come Paul Levesque. I'll just roll R-Truth ass out there. No, R-Truth. No disrespect to him. Nobody wants that shit. Nobody wants this shit. Nobody wants R-Truth in a title match for John Cena. We would rather see, if you want to do this shit, we'd rather see Montez Sweat. We would rather see Angelo Dawkins. We would rather see Melo. Shit. Montez. That just shows you how pissed off I am. And I'd rather see Montez Ford.
And I thought you did it on purpose because I was like, he did be singing.
Bear down. He's from Chicago too. Like, we would rather see that shit. We would rather see Kofi. But Kofi won't be a bad guy that don't feel like he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Kofi Kingston feels like a GD that don't supposed to be a GD. He's supposed to be, he have all A's in school. He's supposed to be in school every day, not going to gang meetings. Like, that's, anytime I see Kofi Kingston try to be a heel, he's the gang member. Like, he's the gang member that don't supposed to be in the gang. He's the GD that's like, come on, fam. Like, you supposed to be in physics class. Why is you over here throwing up gang signs?
You know,
man, This is so, come on.
You know, hey, listen, I am not the happiest about it. Again, I thought they was going to chop this up on, like, SmackDown. I didn't think it was, but John Cena needs to have a nice main event moment. At least we can say we will be entertained.
No, no, fuck that, Camp. We've old enough to seen a lot of Saturday Night's main events, okay?
That's true.
Hulk Hogan wrestled fucking Sika on Saturday Night's main event.
That's true.
Hulk, like, this ain't Sika, R-Truth. All right, look, he wrestled Harley Race. Harley Race, R-Truth. Like, we could find John Cena an opponent. Nigga, he could wrestle El Grande Americano and take his mask off. Or, since John Cena's a heel.
Yeah.
Since John Cena's a heel, the nigga could legit wrestle one of the War Raiders, and I'll be happier.
Well, I hope it's at least Ivar.
Yeah, he can wrestle Ivar. And I'll be happier than what I am right now. He could go wrestle dead ass, G. He could go, man if we want to dig in the crates of John Cena matches, go find a random nigga this nigga wrestled on SmackDown.
Hey, John Cena versus Berto.
Yeah, man. If you want this, John Cena. I'd rather see John Cena versus the Conquistadors in a handicap match on Saturday Night's main event.
He was against one and two. That's great. Yeah.
Conquistador one and Conquistador two versus John Cena. Do that. I don't want to see this DIS match. I blame y'all, internet wrestling community. Black internet wrestling community. The past year, y'all have been complaining about how it ain't no black people on the PLEs. It ain't no black people at the top of the cars unless it's Bianca Belair. Y'all been complaining. Now Paul Lass is like, well, we got R-Truth. Let's do that. You know what that sounds like, Vince? That's some shit Vince would say. Oh, well, hey, black people complaining? Roll out R-Truth. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that shit. I'm going to watch it because if my prediction come true, the next week, Sunday, let my prediction come true. I am tempering a lot of the emotion that I have about this match. However, let R-Truth win by DQ.
Mm.
And then they start floating around. The graphic all of a sudden come out on Saturday that is R-Truth versus John Cena at Money in the Bank. Boy!
Oh, man. Man.
Telling you, that's when the show's going to be epic. That's when it's going to be an epic show. That's when you get all of Bang. Because this is bullshit. This happens. I'm not with it. What do you think John Cena's trying to do with this farewell tour, though? Like, when we look at R-Truth getting a shot, not a shot at the title, but another shot at being high on the card and going up against the biggest name right now, John Cena. And it's not like this is a rivalry. They wrestled one time. I can't remember the pay-per-view.
It's probably about 10 years ago now.
Yeah, like R-Truth versus John Cena. Brando is probably in chat going to be able to say which pay-per-view it was and what year it was. But I don't remember. I think it was like some random shit, like Capital Combat or like Capital Punishment or some shit like that. It was some shit. Because matter of fact, yeah, I think it was some random ass shit.
Yeah, but it was definitely like a Fast Lane-ish type of event.
Yeah,
it was definitely one of those.
It's a random
ass. I said it might have been like Great Balls of Fire or something like that.
Right. It was some shit like that. But that was it. It was not a return match.
Right. Yeah.
So this is also why this is a bit weird to me. Am I overthinking this? Like, what is John Cena's, what do you think John Cena's attempting on this farewell tour with the matches that he will be in?
Well, hey, man, I kind of spoke to it a little bit last week. To me, I think John Cena's rebounding. All right. Again, I think The Rock, low key, effed up the farewell with what he was going to do. And then what he thought he should do, he's too involved with TKO Endeavor and the other Mr. Khan. And I think what started off as a really interesting spin on John Cena the heel, I really do think he's just rebounding. Oh, we're not going to do this anymore? Okay, well, I don't want to cheat the fans, but I also don't want to be doing no stupid shit. So let me at least try to steer this the right way. I think that the end of the St. Louis show, all of it, I think that is the transition. It's like, oh, man, is this winner's remorse? This is the survivor's remorse. Is this, man, hold up. I got to sell them on the internal conflict within myself because we're in May and too many people have been using the hustle, loyalty, and respect angle as a means to talk to John Cena and prepare for a match. I really felt like out of all the people that didn't need it, Randy Orton definitely didn't need it. I was hoping he'd take the route of like, yo, you know, I'm just better than you. And even you say it, like you said it like back before you won the titles, everybody in OVW said it, like, I'm just better than you. I don't even understand why we're doing this for you. I would have rather that, but Randy Orton's a face right now. So it's kind of difficult to get that off. But I think the whole second half of this is going to go crazy. I think now John Cena's in complete control. And shoot, hey, I know you don't like what's about to happen, but shit, I think John Cena's instrumental in R-Truth getting involved in this magnitude, because what better way for him to kind of stop on a dime and pivot to what he really want to do? Remember, R-Truth said, I'm going to beat the real John Cena back out. Super boss.
Yeah.
But that's what he said.
That's crazy. That is.
Yeah, that was super crazy. And he was like, yo, that ain't John Cena. If I got to beat like the John Cena out of him.
That's Mexico super crazy. That is wild.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that was nuts. That was insane. But I do believe, like, matter of fact, this is not necessarily a guarantee. And if we get into predictions for Extra Saturday Night's main event, I'll save this. But I actually got the segment of R-Truth John Cena at Saturday Night's main event being longer than the match. And I'll stop right there just to keep the show moving. But John Cena, I think he's just in transition. I think he's pivoting. I don't think the story that he was telling the first 3 or 4 months of this is really his. Well, no, I think Royal Rumble was. And I think that he was on the trajectory at WrestleMania. But when The Rock's not going to show up, the whole Sold Your Soul angle is gone. The whole Rock is blurring the lines. Everything is gone. Thank God, Travis Scott, gone. So now he has to do something
not
with the rest of the
course. Yeah. Not according to reports.
That's them trying to make this all make sense earlier to us. That's what that is. Because he shouldn't be there anymore.
According to reports, there might be a tag team match that involves Trav.
All right. With who, for what, and why? Get him the fuck out of here. Hey, listen, make more merch. I'm going to save up and buy. I'm downsizing right now, Travis. Give me something that I can safely like purchase, nigga.
Look, I do think that The Rock fucked up this whole John Cena farewell tour with this shit. I do think John Cena's looking out for the homies. But every homie don't deserve to be looked out for.
Yeah. I can't disagree with that.
Hey, it's no disrespect intended, but every homie don't deserve to be looked out for. In this capacity, you can look out for them in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
maybe, got me there.
But let me ask y'all this. Here's why I'm saying this. I know some of y'all are going to be like, damn, bang, you bogus. But every homie don't deserve to be looked out for. When Hulk Hogan and Brutus the Barber Beefcake wrestled for the title in WCW, how'd that Byray do? She was terrible. And the match was too. We don't need Hulk Hogan versus Brutus the Barber Beefcake here in the WWE in 2025.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're getting. We're getting the Butcher versus Hulk Hogan swapped. It didn't make sense. It even though it could have, it didn't make sense when it turned out that Brutus the Barber Beefcake was the one who injured Hulk Hogan. Like it was Nasty Kerrigan and Tonya Harding. Didn't make sense then.
Yeah.
It don't make sense that John Cena and R-Truth, Ron. That don't make sense. We don't want to see I don't want to see Hulk Hogan versus Brutus the Barber Beefcake in 2025. That's the vibes that R-Truth and John Cena are giving me right now. But I am telling you, guarantee, R-Truth wins by disqualification, setting up June 7th, R-Truth, John Cena, Undisputed Championship, Money in the Bank. Get that match out the way. It's a squash match.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm sorry. Just because, honestly, the flip side of this for me is because The Rock messed this up, I think that's why we're not going to get it. Because it's like, yo, you can't turn heel at Elimination Chamber and then win the title at WrestleMania with the help of Travis Scott and give us a squash match for the title with R-Truth all in the same year and within the same, like 90 to 120 days. Like, now you got to stay in 2026. Now you got to retire in 2027. You can't do that. You can't do that. Somebody that they are billing as the greatest of all time can't do that.
Look, man, I'd rather them gave me John Cena versus Goldberg.
Hey, true enough. I'm with you on that, though.
I would have rather seen that.
Listen, I'm going to kill the most overhyped wrestler of the 90s. Hey, I'm here for that. Like, y'all talk about me and my five moves of doom. No, what about this bitch? Like, get him the fuck out of here. You know what he did to Bret Hart? Hey, listen. Hey, call Goldberg. Hey, I've never said this ever on the show. Call Goldberg. He got one more match.
He won one more match.
Hey.
What better than this?
Hey, John Cena, October. Book it. Fuck it.
You know what? What's funny is we say this shit now, and it'll fuck around to be Goldberg that saves R-Truth. And then it's Goldberg versus John Cena at Money in the Bank.
Hey, right,
fucking rap and beat this shit, dude. Talk about some damn teas you don't want. Hey, man, real quick, before we get into the Money in the Bank qualifiers real quick, speaking of Goldberg, you remember back in the day that they was confusing Goldberg with Mark Coleman?
Yes, actually, I do, yeah.
Remember that? Yeah, I've been watching UFC. Oh. I got UFC. For some reason, I want to see UFC 1. We've talked about it on this show about how our first interactions with UFC was renting UFC 1 and 2. And like, oh, man, this is real fighting. Oh, shit. And for some strange reason, a couple of weeks ago, I was like, you know what? I want to watch UFC 1, but I couldn't find it on YouTube. Only could find like certain matches.
Mm-hmm.
So I got League Pass or Fight Pass,
nice.
UFC Fight right. Pass. $9.99 a month. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to use it for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I want to get to like a certain level of UFCs. I really wanted to see the transitions that UFC took. Going from, it's funny when you hear them continuously say, no holds barred. And then by like UFC 17, it's mixed martial arts. Mm-hmm. You see Randy Couture for the first time, Tito Ortiz for the first time, about to see Chuck Liddell for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You see all of these fighters.
Yeah.
But you see the like, one of the things, and I was laughing when I was Googling this. I was like, when did they start doing rounds in UFC? Because
mm-hmm.
for a while, they just like fought for 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was just two people. Hey, y'all, y'all get in there. And we got the clock going. We're going to set the stopwatch. We're going to set the timer.
But,
do y'all think?
Like how Frank Shamrock was like the king and that motherfucker retired. Like, ain't no competition. Like seeing some of the, like now, I did Google it though. They didn't start doing rounds until they got commissioned by Vegas. Well, they got started to get commissioned. They went to unified rules, which, you know, 3 5-minute rounds. But it was funny, like watching these niggas. Like, I am so glad that I did not watch the UFC at that point because I'm mature and I know what it leads to. But goddamn, that was some of the worst shit I've ever seen for like a couple of them shits. Like you just wrestling for 15 minutes and not even like ground and pounded. Now, don't get me wrong, Mark Coleman came in and crushed the building.
Yeah.
And that's when we started. Oh, the ground and pound, him and Mark Kerr. And The Rock is going to play Mark Kerr in his biopic. Put on and everything. Yeah, you got to watch the trailer. Like, you got to watch the trailer. The Rock. That's The Rock. He got a new nose. You know what I'm saying? They put a prosthetic nose on that motherfucker. But that's The Rock.
The Rock is don't play.
Hey man, look, The Rock, yeah. The Rock and his the Rock and his side missions is because this is kind of what it's leading to. Like I notice when it comes to like people like Rock or like people like comedians or like sports players, they got to try to get their Oscar moment.
Mm-hmm.
They got to try to get their best actor moment. Kevin Hart had his in the movie with Wesley Snipes, and also in the movie with homie from Breaking Bad, Bryan Cranston, where he was like I forgot what the name of it is, but he was like Bryan Cranston was in a wheelchair and shit. Like everybody got to have a their radio moment. That's what I call it, radio. Like when Cuba Gooding Jr. Was playing a slow kid. That was the
for radio.
Yeah, you remember radio? Yeah. I'm about to say, right? Yeah. About to say, that everybody had a radio moment. I guess this is The Rock's radio moment. So when you see the trailer.
I mean, hey, look, man. The only thing I realize is that The Rock will play any person but a black person in the movie. And it just is what it is. Shout out to you and J-Lo, though. How about that? Shout out to both of y'all.
Has he ever played a black person in the movie?
Nope. His character in Too Cool, I don't think, was necessarily black.
Does Why Did I Get Married 2 count?
Nope, because they didn't bring him back. Nope, because it went
to part 3.
Yep, it went to part 3. So in other words, Janet meets this guy that's like no other guy she's ever met. And the story's over after her black husband dies. Yeah. Yeah. Nah. Hey, obviously, all of his Fast and Furious, Hobbs is not a black person.
Yes. No. Well, we know that because Roman Reigns ends up, you know, in Hobbs and Shaw. So.
Yep. The walking tall when he had the 2x4 in the pickup truck, obviously not a black person. Obviously not. It's like, hey, the black people in the woods got guns.
Yes.
Doing shit.
He's walking around. He ain't walking around like he's John. John Henry is just the story, y'all. Isn't that?
Come on.
Yeah, cause somebody who's watching, somebody in the chat, give us the African American role that The Rock played. Now I'm just saying, I just want to know.
Right.
I just want to know. But I liken the UFC's transition to like WWE in the 80s.
Yeah.
And everything. Right. So as I think I'm on UFC 19 right now. You're starting to see, like I said, you're starting to see some of those wrestlers and stuff, and they're getting away from the tournaments now. But I brought this up because I do feel bad for them niggas that was on the UFC. Was the dude on Gridiron Gang black?
Gridiron Gang. Oh, you know, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We got
to Google. I don't know. We're gonna have to look. But you know what? I will say to your... your point on the UFC. Once I saw The Dark Side of the Ring on Ludwig Borga, I was like, "Dang, I need to watch this." I didn't realize that Randy Couture handed him his first L when he thought he was super tough.
Yes, he didn't watch that one.
Yeah, I also seen on this.
What? He ain't. Oh, God, he ain't.
Oh, there, Sean Porter.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
God. Yeah. Sean Porter could be black.
Yeah, Shawn Porter.
That's where I was going. There you go. But Sean, no.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And it'd be the only black Sean we know that was only two. Sean Combs and Deshaun Jackson. That's it. Everybody else is Shawn.
And Combs.
That's Shawn.
Sean Combs, that sounds like that could be an affluent nigga. But no. Sean Porter from Gridiron Gang is white as hell. All right? He is, yeah, damn. Yeah, he wasn't black and too cool either. So, yeah, we have, oh, shit. That's like I was saying about the U.S.
And for real, y'all, this is why I'd be like, he can't be in the top three of the black wrestlers of all time list. He just can't be there. He don't even want to play a black person fictionally.
Damn.
That's all I'll be saying.
I'm trying, Rock, even though the Cointel Pro thing still stands for at least wrestler, but in real life, I'm trying. I swear I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'm.
Hey, the closest he got to playing a black person is Black Adam.
So, and that was WWE Capital Punishment in DC. If you're watching on the YouTube, Brando with the question of the day.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, I will give him that respect.
Nah, I'm not sure about the other guys either. He was a cop, and there was already one black cop, and Samuel L. Jackson.
See. Hey, man. Hey. But at least I do give The Rock the respect of never using the N-word in the movie. He don't. He'll call you a bitch, but he don't be using the N-word.
Because here's why I'm like, nah, I don't know. Because just because you put Samuel Jackson next to somebody that don't mean they black.
That's
Pulp
true.
Fiction.
Yeah.
And his name in the other guys was Christopher Danson.
Hey.
The only other dancer I know.
Ted.
The only dancer I know is Ted. He white as hell.
Yeah, Chris.
Right. And Bobby Yuan. Hey, was in there be taking roles for white people.
Yeah. Hey, like, and they well.
But we know Zendaya black. She from Oakland.
Yeah.
Look, she from Oakland.
Then that's the difference.
Yeah, that's the difference. She do the electric slide at her family gatherings. The Rock be doing this shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nothing against my Samoan brother. Shouts out to Booyah Tribe. If I am disrespectful, I apologize. Let's just move on. Money in the Bank qualified. Let's go and get Solo Sikoa and Alexa Bliss are in. I really want, before we get into who we would like to see, now we're starting to see people in there or wrestling for it. Me, Chin wrestled Alexa Bliss and Chelsea Green. Chelsea Green, came out in all black. She wasn't red, white, and blue. So that was interesting for me because, you know, she lost her belt and now she like, fuck America. I don't know. She is Canadian. But Me, Chin, here's when you see, this is when whoever was, there you go, Donnie. He was his daddy in that 70s show. He got one.
Hey. That's the closest he's ever been.
Daddy. He was in
wow. Daddy.
That buyout. Boom.
Wow. Okay. Hey, I got you, Donnie.
Boom. Yeah, yep. Boom. Yes. So, that's one. You got one. So, Meechin. This is how you know somebody ain't going to win. And I'm looking at the writers crazy when this happened. Meechin basically alluded if she wins the money in the the Money in the Bank briefcase, she was going to use it to try to go after the tag team titles with B-Fab. And that's...
See, and this is why, see, this is why people are mad that Dakota Kai is being released. See, this is why. It's that kind of stuff right there. And I want to say that to say, I think B-Fab is on her way. I think out of all the women wrestlers of this year that I've just been impressed with as just far as career elevation-wise, she's at the top of that list.
That was most approved.
Yeah. But here's the deal. Yeah, after she left Spain, I was like, yo, I want a piece of that. But you don't do this. Like, I'm already still upset at Austin Theory and his cash-in. So now don't you try to win it and then grab somebody else to come with you to take some titles that don't even be on TV every week. Like, come on, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Stop.
Yeah, I when I saw that, I was like, yeah, she ain't winning. Even though I was going to pick Alexa Bliss anyway, I was like, yeah, she ain't winning this shit. You're going to use this shit for the wrong. You're going to use this shit to look out for the homie. Why are you looking out for the homie?
Yeah.
You win the world championship, you're not winning. Shit.
Right. If you're looking out for the homie, the homie might surpass you this year. You need to be careful. You need to get your shit in order. Because, hey, listen. You and B-Fab, y'all neck and neck, but B-Fab is on the ups right now, where he might have plateaued. That's not, even though the long back attack is funny, it's funny, but.
Yeah, that is funny. That shit is funny as hell. How we looking for this Money in the Bank? We got Alexa Bliss, we got Solo up in there. If you have to feel, who would you like to see in this Money in the Bank, men's and women?
Well, man, I mean, not even being funny, but I definitely did want to see B-Fab in this because of how the European tour looked and her work against Charlotte. I think she did really well. And just to have a new face, get a new opportunity, I think that's important. For me, Naomi, for sure, as far as women go, I think it's a foregone conclusion Roxanne Perez will be in it. But also what's homegirl?
I'm guessing Roxanne, Julia, and Stephanie Van Queer got to be in it. All those three, the NXT call-ups.
Well, see, I was thinking that, but part of me also, I think Jada Parker should be in. Because that's just kind of like, since the Money in the Bank, just the rules are just broken now. They've been broken for like 2 or 3 years. Now, you don't have to go for a main roster title. You don't have to, the pressure to cash in at, you know, WrestleMania or a PLE, it don't really exist no more. You got so many people that now we're going after the U.S. title. We're going after NXT titles. So you kind of just open up the scope for it to be just all over the place. So I wouldn't mind. What's my homegirl? Chocolate Thunder, Lash Legend, Jada Parker, Alexa Bliss, B-Fab, and Roxanne Perez. Because it's going to be 5, right? Or is it going to be 6? I don't know. I don't really remember. But those are the ones I would like to see. And Naomi. So if it is 6, I want Naomi in there. But man, Naomi is my pick, even though I'm not clear that she's definitely going to be in it. But I would love to see her in that spot. I forgot. Hold on. I'm stupid. They're going to put Jade Cargill in this match. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm totally so sorry, Jada. You're not going to be in it. But yeah.
Jade Cargill, it's supposed to be 6 people up in there, right? Alexa Bliss. Whoever is the odd person out is going to be in the match for the title at that pay-per-view. So the way that I'm looking at it, if we're thinking Fatal 4-Way or 3-Way match, right? Because Nia Jax just had a title shot and a dope match with Tiffany Stratton. So if we're looking at, okay, we got Jade Cargill and Naomi, maybe those two are in a triple threat match with Tiffany Stratton, or one of those two are in it. I'm thinking triple threat match if you're going to do that. So triple threat match, which means that you would have to find somebody with Alexa Bliss. Don't know if you're ready to put Charlotte in a triple threat, in a Money in the Bank type of situation. I don't even think the fans want to see that, because I think the fans would be pissed. Yeah, but for shits and giggles, I'll go and say Alexa Bliss, Julia,
okay,
and Charlotte Flair on SmackDown.
Okay.
On Raw, Roxanne Perez, Stephanie Van Queer. Oh no, she's defending her NXT title that weekend. So no, yeah, take her out. Sure. So Roxanne Perez, Liv Morgan, and maybe Roxanne Rodriguez. Raquel Rodriguez.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. They're gonna do something. They're gonna do something with that. But then again, I don't know who's going after the Raw, the WWE Championship. Even though it is shaping up to be Io versus Rhea again, it is shaping up to be that. But yeah, I don't know. I'm my whole thing is though, for sure, I would like to see 2 or 3 just brand new ladies to the mix in there. And I know we kind of say that every year, but this is the most new women it's been in a long time. Like, as far as like, this may definitely be the first Money in the Bank in about 10 years where there is no 4 Horsewomen in it. There will be no Bianca Belair in it. There will be no Natty in it. So with that said,
and they got Natty on side mission quest.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Doing some risque type of wrestling, it seems like.
No, she was at NWA, NWA Crockett Cup.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about her promo when she was smearing lipstick on her face and
she putting her now
boobage out. You know what I mean? But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm here for it. All that. But I would like to see just different women, just show the diversity into the, and I don't mean that by color, but just like, just the other, just good talent, good or great talent. I really do think the only two people I'm truly lobbying for in this entire thing are Naomi and B-Fab. I think those are the only two that I definitely want to see in that moment, because one of them or both of them have a great chance of being like, wow, that was one of the best performances. This third and fourth quarter is yours to do whatever. And then they can both simultaneously win in that respect.
Okay. Well, look, as we get to the Money in the Bank, we have a couple of items that's going to happen when we talk about Money in the Bank that may affect, you know, Saturday night's main event may affect it. So let's go to some of the predictions or the predictions now. I've already given my predictions. John Cena, R-Truth. R-Truth is going to win by DQ. And it's going to set up John Cena versus R-Truth. R-Truth owning a spot at Money in the Bank on June 7th. Who do you got winning this non-title affair, John Cena or R-Truth?
I have John Cena winning it. I have John Cena mercilessly beating up R-Truth to the point that he just snaps. And but it's back to reality because, yo, you doing that to R-Truth though, bro? Like, come on. Like, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? You beating the hell out of R-Truth on Saturday night's main event. The fuck is your problem? And I think that causes the next contemplation. And John Cena's mind is like, yo, wait, hold on. Wait a minute. This isn't right. So I got this actual match being like 3 minutes, but I got the segment being like 10. And a lot of it is going to be like, what is wrong with John Cena? And then, and R-Truth is just like, much like how the tsunamis, Bronson Reed, how he had the star just doing that, but it worked in his favor because everybody's like, one more time. I think beating up R-Truth, heel John Cena beating down R-Truth is going to cause a shift. And I think that's the shift that they need to happen here.
Okay. Steel cage match, Drew McIntyre versus Damian Priest. Here's Drew McIntyre coming in and talking about level of violence and all of that stuff. We ain't really seeing nobody blood and bleeding this shit. So we'll see that. But this seems like to be the close of this feud. Who we got, Damian Priest or Drew McIntyre?
This is difficult because in my eyes, they both need this win. Like, they both need it. And but if I had to look at trajectory, Drew McIntyre is coming off potentially match of last year versus Damian Priest still needing that. So I'm going to pick Damian Priest. Even though I do think they both need the dub here, this is a defining moment for Damian Priest. Now Damian Priest can work his way to the respect level that Drew McIntyre has with a win here.
Okay. I am going to go in the opposite direction. I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre because I feel like we're going to get Drew McIntyre versus Jacob Fatu. I feel like we're going to get that feud for United States Championship before we get Jacob Fatu and Solo going after each other. Huh. Fixes in part one or part two. CM Punk and Sami Zayn versus Seth Rollins and Bron Breakker.
Yeah.
If you look at some of the imagery that took place on Monday Night Raw, it kind of like the Shield breakup, the way that it looked. Should Sami Zayn trust CM Punk? Is the Fixes in? Is Sammy going to turn on CM Punk? My answer to that is not just yet. But I do have Sami Zayn taking the pin in this one right here. I have Bron Breakker and Seth Rollins winning this match. Who you got?
I do got Seth and Bron winning this match. But for me, Well, no, you know what? This Saturday night's main event doesn't potentially need another moment with a cage match and then with John Cena, R-Truth. So I do. My long-term story is that Sami Zayn definitely does turn on CM Punk. I just don't know if it's going to be there and how. I want to know how they make this look, because they got the seed of distrust needs to be planted, is what I'm trying to say. Right. I'm curious on how they're going to do it. I don't have a really clear picture to it, but I think it's going to happen.
And that's why I believe that it don't happen yet, but the seeds start to happen. It is about time for us to have a Hogan Macho Man level type of turn on Saturday Night's main event. This is back to fixes in part three. World Heavyweight Championship is on the line. Jey Uso versus Logan Paul. But Gunther announced that he will challenge the winner on the June 9th episode of Raw after Money in the Bank. So, who wins, and will the Money in the Bank winner cash in on whoever wins this match versus Gunther on June 9th?
Now, see, that's where it's time for my guarantee.
Let's get
because, it. Because, so, I'm going to pick Jey Uso just because, man, as hot as he is right now, I would hate to see this end with him losing to Logan Paul on Saturday night's main event. I would. I just don't want to see that. Not in 2025. Not spring 2025. I don't want to see that. Gunther getting the match on Monday Night Raw the next night, awesome. However, break all this up. And I do believe my guarantee is whoever it is that wins, Money in the Bank is definitely cashing in on the Raw champion. And since they are making an entire segment out of how Gunther gets his rematch then, they're all going to lose in a triple threat match. I got that person either going in on a triple threat and pinning Gunther or pinning Jey, or Gunther's second title reign is 45 seconds or so. But I definitely got the winner. I got the winner of Money in the Bank cashing in on their champion because, truth be told, SummerSlam needs a better champion than the one we got right now between both of them. Sorry.
I'm not going to put out my Money in the Bank prediction yet. But if it involves somebody who I believe is going to be in it, that person is going to win it. We're going to be happy that that person won it. And then that person is going to insert themselves over two guys that they lost to in one way, shape, or form and become the new World Heavyweight Champions. So June 9th, we will have a new world champion.
Yeah.
We're going to be happy, but let's just say we're going to be happy, but. Mm-hmm. So there's that right there. All right, man. That is pretty much it for the main portion of this show. So y'all already know what we do, man. We're going to go ahead and hit y'all with a little bit of Do We Care on this one. So, Do We Care? I pinned to beat Chad Gable, but will he pin El Grande Americano? Do we care about any of this?
No, we don't care about this at all. And it's unfortunate. I'm trying to get on the Penta bandwagon. I'm trying to, outside of his intro, I'm decent, bro. I don't want to see none of this shit. Cut this whole sec.
I don't really care about El Grande Americano or Chad Gable at this point. In fact, at this point, El Grande Americano needs to win Money in the Bank if you're going to keep doing this shit. Finn Balor. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, no. I'm with you. Hey, I'm with you.
Hey, Finn Balor was seen talking to Roxanne Perez during the backstage segment. Is Finn Balor possibly creating his own club? Do we care about gang fights in the WWE?
We do care about gang fights. However, I don't think that Finn is starting another club. I think he's just trying to break up Liv and Rock and Raquel.
Mm. I think we are about to get a new club, a Balor club. Roxanne Perez will be the person that goes up against Liv. Of course, Dominic Mysterio and Finn. I do think we get some type of Balor club or type of situation here. And we're going to get some type of, what's that, Los Boricuas versus, I forgot what the group name was when Smash or what Crush had his little group. We're going to get some little gang banging action, pause, when it comes to them too. The last one, not Jeff Cobb, no. JC Mateo. Do we care about JC Mateo and how small he is compared to the other wrestlers? I told y'all, he's like a Tasmanian devil. He's like Taz. But that Tour of Violence on LA Knight was decent. Let me say that.
No fact.
He hit him with that Tour of Violence. He caught him, hit him with the Tour of Violence. That was decent, but do we care about the man who we call Jeff Cobb, but then a couple of days later, he's JC Mateo?
Yeah, shout out to Michael Cole. Shout out to Michael Cole with the real facts. You know what? We will care if they get rid of this We the Bloodline, but not the Bloodline storyline. And I meant to say it just like that. There is, now we got to keep it real. Without Roman and without Paul Heyman, there is no Bloodline business. I don't want to see anything related to that. They got to do something else. And now I'm waiting for Tangaloa to come back as well. There just needs to be more than this, because now this segment, it's starting to look like bad booking for Jacob Fatu.
As I've said on this show before, I am a fan of Jeff Cobb. I'm not a fan of the situation that he is in currently right now. I don't really feel like that this is. He's just a bit player in this. So I'm not for sure. I don't like none of this for Jeff Cobb or JC Mateo. But he gave me a little bit of hope when he hit that Tour of Islands on LA Knight and pinned him clean. The way he caught him coming out the air, I was like, okay.
You know, that was fire.
Just make him more of a monster, fam. Make him somebody you fear. I don't fear him yet. You know, and don't get me wrong. I like Solo Sikoa bringing out his personality, but he a little too animated to me now. I need my street champ back.
Pause. Yeah. Solo Sikoa is like the actor on the 90s BET movies.
But he's definitely been watching a little bit too much. What's that movie Silk the Shocker was in?
Oh, Hot Boys. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like
a little bit too much Hot Boys.
Yeah, like it's like those first five films Bokeem Woodbine was in too. Like when he's just like, yo, I'm on the streets, you know.
Yeah. What's going on here? He's caught up. He's a little. Yes. He's a little. Yeah, caught up. He's a little bit too 90s villain for me.
Yeah. You know what
I'm saying? He, Yeah, he gotta chill out on that. That's it for the show, man. Hey, that's it for the show. Saturday night's main event. It takes place next Saturday. And if my guaranteed tea happens, prepare for an epic show. This is just prepare for an epic show.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, can't end us off, man.
All right, man. Man, well, listen, man, we appreciate y'all checking out this week's show. Man, this is the first Black Champ podcast, and we obviously could not do this without all of your participation and engagement and interaction. So thank you very much. We have a lot of great wrestling coming up, man. Please try to stay a fan for all the right reasons as I look at the internet right now and everything that's going on. But hey, all of you contributing to the FBC community, man, is greatly appreciated. And just know that if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the first Black Champ podcast. It is The Pick with the VP, DOC, and we are out. Fuck Johnny Wrestling.
And for right now, fuck Paul Levesque.